Welcome to the Latter Gay Stories Podcast, the show that features real people, real stories, and real talk. This is the intersection of sexuality and reality. Now, here's the voice of the show, Kyle Ashworth.
Thank you for joining us on another episode of Latter Gay Stories Podcast. I'm your host, Kyle Ashworth. I recently returned from the 2019 Affirmation International Conference, held in Provo, Utah. If you've never attended the conference, I invite you to add it to your calendar. It will happen again next year. The weekend features speakers from all walks of the LGBT life, including sessions designed specifically for church leaders. One of the highlights of the conference, at least for me, is the social aspect. The conference it's a great way to meet new people, to connect with old friends, and to chat with people who live outside of the Mormon Mecca. So, on this episode of the podcast, you will see a format that's a little different than most episodes we have here. First, this episode is much shorter. And second, we're bringing you a rebroadcast of an address given at the church leaders session of the Affirmation International Conference. In this episode, we will listen to Mike Mayfield. Now, President Michael Mayfield, currently serves as a counselor in his stake presidency. He's a former bishop and the father of a gay child. For President Mayfield, when his daughter came out, he was stunned. He said he was surprised and even blindsided by his daughter's revelation. He has had to navigate this path like many of the other parents of LGBT children. He's also active in the church, which provides him with some biases, and he discusses those in this episode as well. So, in this session, President Mayfield discusses his experiences as both an ecclesiastical leader and the father of a gay child. He discusses the 10 tips for parents from the MormonandGay.LDS.org website. And he offers his advice to parents and church leaders who navigate this space. We're happy to share with you Mike Mayfield on the Latter Gay Stories podcast.
My name is Mike Mayfield, and in my life outside of the church, I'm a lawyer, and part of what I do, my practice is commercial litigation. When companies can't work and play well with each other and want to pick a fight with each other, I get hired to do that. And part of my job is on occasion a dispute will go all the way to trial, and we have witnesses that we put up on the stand. And one of the things you always want to do with a witness is understand what biases they have. You know, where is it that they're coming from? What's their angle? And so I think it's really fair before I present what I'm going to present for you to understand what my biases are and what my angle is on all this. My first bias is that I'm a lifelong member of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. In fact, there's been a family member of mine in the church since 1833. My great-great-great-grandfather lived in the same town as Joseph Smith Sr.'s brother. And so my family's been around in this church for a long time. I've served in a few callings over the last few years. I've served in a couple bishoprics. I've been a bishop. I've served in a couple young men's presidencies. I've been a stake young men's president. I'm currently in a stake presidency right now. Serve as a counselor in the stake presidency of my home stake. And all that really means is that I've spent some time in a church that I love and that means a lot to me. I get a lot out of it. I take a lot of satisfaction and guidance from it. I have a real firm testimony that God did so love the world that he sent his only begotten son and that he came to this earth and he set a perfect example for us. I believe that. I feel it in my heart. I believe that he paid a terrible price for all of our sins. I believe that he was resurrected, and those beliefs are part of my bias. It's part of what makes me who I am, and it's part of what makes me feel the way I feel about certain things. It colors what I see and how I see the world. I also have another bias, and that bias is that for really the last 20 years, and I only really recognize this in hindsight as I look back, but it's really clear that God has blessed my life by introducing me and bringing LGBTQ people into my life. And it's just like I said, going forward, I didn't see the pattern. Looking back, the pattern is just really, really clear. And that is a bias for me. Let me tell you about two of them, and then I'll get right into the things. These are people that I've met that are both inside the church and outside the church, and some that used to be inside the church and now are outside, some that used to be outside are now inside. And there's a whole group, but one of them is my law partner. His name is Paul Burke, and Paul sits on the board for Equality Utah. Paul was the lawyer that represented Alex Cooper, who was involved and had been pushed into conversion therapy, and Paul represented her and helped her. And Paul is all these things that I'm not. He's gay. I'm straight. He's single. I'm married with kids. He's very liberal. I'm a little more conservative. He is so annoying. And I'm really nice and friendly. I'll tell you about Paul. Paul, and if Paul were here, he would agree with me on this. This is not something I'm saying that he wouldn't agree with. But Paul, over the last 20 years or so that we've been law partners, we've had hundreds of conversations about LGBTQ issues. He has sent me many hundreds of emails and text messages. It's usually after general conference, and it's something like, it's kind of like, and he calls me his bishop. It's always, he loves eyebrows and things, but Paul will say, you know, in every October and every April, it's, "Bishop, do you have any idea what your church did this weekend?" You know, and I'll say, "Yeah, Paul, I was there. I mean, of course, I don't have to guess. I know exactly what was said." But that's been kind of our thing. And Paul and I, we go back and forth on a lot of things. We agree on most things. There's a lot of common ground. And there's some things that we still are kind of working through together as friends. I guess it was 4 years ago, the United States Supreme Court issued its decision on Obergefell versus Hodges, and legalized marriage, including for the gay community, for the entire country. And 3 days after that, the church sent to all stake presidencies and mission presidents and others a group of materials that set forth the church's teachings and doctrines on marriage and other things that they thought was a good response to the decision by the Supreme Court. And they asked all bishops to sit down with all the youth in their stake, in their wards, and also with the adults in the wards, and to talk over these materials. I go to church a lot on Sunday. I went to three different meetings at wards and heard that presentation from three different bishops that day, and it was very interesting and so forth. And when I came home, I felt like my children and my family had been taught the teachings very well. They understood what we were teaching, but I was concerned that they didn't maybe hear some of the heart of what we teach. And so we pulled them together and I said, "Listen, you heard these things today, and it's important that the church teaches what it teaches. The brethren have a duty to do that. But what I don't want you to take away from today is that you should ever be unkind to anyone. That you should ever do anything that makes someone feel less than you. And I want you to know that if you have gay friends, they're always welcome in our home, and because that's what our family's about." And we finished that, and you know, the teenage kids kind of looked at each other like, you know, "Thanks, Dad. Good talk. You know, we got to move on now." And so we did. And then I went into my bedroom. I sat down on a chair. I kicked my feet up, and I did what I always do at the end of a long Sunday, and that's I just fell asleep immediately. And a few minutes later, one of my daughters came in, and she tapped me on the shoulder, and she said, "I just want to talk to you about myself." And she said, "I'm really glad we had that conversation, because you should know that I'm gay." And that's how she came out to me. And I will tell you that there's parents that know this is coming. I was absolutely clueless. I did not see this coming at all, and my wife didn't either. She didn't, and you should have. I mean, that's shame on you, you know? You should have seen that coming. But we didn't see it coming. And so I sat and listened, a little stunned, a little surprised. And then I got up and I just gave her a big hug. And I said, there's three things you've got to know. One is that I'm your dad and I will always be your dad. Right? Two is that I love you and I will always love you. And three is that I will always have your back. Right? That night, my prayer, Tom, was longer than it usually is. I had a lot to talk about with Heavenly Father. And it was a very meandering kind of a prayer. I mean, you can't even imagine the things that go through your mind of a parent, worries and things like that. But one of the things I said during that prayer was, you know, Heavenly Father, thank you for sending me such an annoying law partner like Paul Burke. Because during all of those conversations that we had had, as part of those, at some point he had helped me understand how important it is when a child trusts an adult and comes out and says, here's something about me that you didn't know. And the risk that kids feel that they're taking. He helped me understand that in a way that was really important. And in that way, my non-Mormon gay law partner was the one that helped prepare me for a really important meeting with my daughter. And I thanked Heavenly Father for that, because that's who he put in my life that delivered that message to me. So those are my biases. You now know more about me, and it looks like we're going to video this, so maybe there's a lot of people that know a lot more about me than I ever thought they would, but we'll move on. I want to talk to you about what the church is teaching. And by saying that, you should know that the church hasn't asked me to come here today. I'm not. I don't speak for the church. I'm responsible for what you're going to see. But I have, everywhere I could, I have cited to material from the churchofjesuschrist.org or mormonandgay.churchofjesuschrist.org. So I feel pretty comfortable that I'm not going to make my stake president feel uncomfortable or anybody else. So. There's my daughter Haley. I love her, and I'm really proud of her. She's going to be going to UCLA in the fall. Just graduated from high school, and has her whole life in front of her. When I listen to the three most senior apostles in the church, President Nelson, and President Oaks, and President Ballard, I hear a pattern of we have law that we teach, and they refer to that as the law of the Lord, and we hear love that we teach, and they refer to that as the love of the Lord. And he said, and they all kind of say we have to teach both. And so I think this particular paragraph catches kind of those two aspects. The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints believes that the experience of same-sex attraction is a complex reality for many people. The attraction itself is not a sin, but acting on it is. Even though individuals do not choose to have such attractions, they do choose how to respond to them. With love and understanding, the church reaches out to all God's children, including those with same-sex attraction. Here's another way that it was said also on the church website. The church distinguishes between same-sex attraction and homosexual behavior. People who experience same-sex attraction or identify as gay, lesbian, or bisexual can make and keep covenants with God and fully and worthily participate in the church. Identifying as gay, lesbian, or bisexual, or experiencing same-sex attraction is not a sin. It does not prohibit one from participating in the church, holding callings, or attending the temple. Given the first statement that I put up here, the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints believes that the experience of same-sex attraction is a complex reality for many people. Local church leaders might ask themselves, what do I do? Especially, you know, many who don't have experience with people in their families or others where they've been able to kind of talk through some of these issues, but they're put in a position as a lay leader to serve and to love and to help and to assist where possible. I found a really helpful group of teachings on the church website called 10 Tips for Parents. And the reason I think that they're helpful is, well, there's three or four reasons. One is, the 10 tips for parents are really good tips for local church leaders, in my mind. I've worn both hats as I've read these tips, And I think they're really helpful. The second reason is, as a church leader, in my mind, one of the important things that you can do is help keep families together. Help parents love their children. Help children be patient with their parents. I think that's really one of the important roles we have. And you look at even kind of the beginning, this is before you even get to the 10 tips, but it's the introduction to them. And it says, as a parent, and I'll just add, as a local church leader, you may sometimes feel inadequate. Although you may not always know how to respond to the struggles your children face, you'll never regret reaching out with love and understanding. You won't regret that. You can be assured that you'll do that right among the various choices. And Misty and I both kind of, as we've gone through life, we were talking with my parents this morning who are here, and we talked about some of the things and the choices we've made with our kids over the years, especially over the last 4 years with our daughter. And there's a lot of times where we don't know what we're doing. But we feel really confident about this part of it. We're doing this okay. Here's tip number one, and it builds from that preamble. Tip number one, you will never regret saying, I love you. You will never regret throwing your arms around your child and hugging him or her. You will never regret listening, and you will never regret trying to understand. You can, with absolute confidence, know that you're doing things right if you follow tip number one, right? And I'll tell you, on the church's website, mormonandgay.org, there is a video of Elder Cook, and it's really kind of a heartbreaking video. You've seen it. It is really, you can see the emotion in him as he talks about this. He was a stake president in the Bay Area during a time when there was still really no good treatment for AIDS. And while he was stake president, they lost 17 young men to that disease. And I will tell you that as a bishop, I had two people lose their homes while I was bishop. And I can't drive past those homes without feeling a sense of, did we do enough? Did we handle this the right way? He lost 17 lives. And you can tell by the way he talks about it that it weighs on him. And he talks about, during that time period, the efforts that the bishops in his stake went through to serve. He talks about the efforts that he went through. He talks about how one of the young men who was the last to pass away and was suffering from the disease himself, how he served and helped. And one of the key things that he talked about them trying to do was to reunite and reconnect families. He talked about the efforts of doing that. From all the different things that you could learn from that experience, here's what he learned, and he said that it was one of the most important lessons. As a church, nobody should be more loving and compassionate. No family who has anybody who has same gender attraction should exclude them from the family circle. They need to be part of the family circle. I have an ellipsis there. At that point, he said, do we have a plan of salvation? Yes, and we teach it. Do we teach the proclamation of the family? We do. But let us be at the forefront in terms of expressing love, compassion, and outreach, and let's not have families exclude or be disrespectful of those who choose a different lifestyle as a result of their feelings about their own gender. I feel very, very strongly about this point. And there's a lot of ellipses in that point because you can tell he is struggling with the emotion of that, of telling that story. It's a very important principle. Tip one, you'll never regret saying I love you. Tip two, I think every family with an LGBT child in the entire church ought to know this, and they ought to know it very clearly in their hearts and minds. You've been entrusted with the care of a precious soul. Learning to be a parent on this journey will stretch you. As you seek the companionship of the Spirit, you will draw near to God, your child, and applicable. I will bear testimony of that principle. I feel like my experiences with my daughter and our family has brought us closer to Heavenly Father. It's helped us understand Him better. And I think it's helped us understand how He sees us better. Remember to honor agency. I liked agency a lot better when I could control it. Yeah. Remember to honor agency. Never try to control, manipulate family members. Give them your time and assure them of your love. Did you overreact, get angry, or say something you regret? Well, don't be discouraged. This is one moment in a lifelong conversation. It's never too late to say you're sorry. Good message both for local church leaders and parents. Had a really good bishop come to me once and said that when he had a youth come out to him, he didn't handle it the way he wished he had. What do I do? Apologize. Go back and say, I would have done that differently now that I know, and I'm sorry. And he did. It's never too late to say you're sorry. If you learn about your child's same-sex attraction secondhand, don't take it personally. That happened in our family. We had one daughter found out about another daughter at school. Our LGBT daughter didn't want to share that yet, and it was she got to decide when she came out and how she did it. But you can help soothe hurt feelings among families if you remember this principle. Again, this from the frequently asked questions. If you decide to share your experiences of feeling same-sex attraction or to openly identify as gay, you should be supported and treated with kindness and respect both at home and in church. That's from the church website. We all need to be patient with each other as we figure things out. Tip number 7, it's natural to grieve. I mentioned my long prayer on the day I learned about my daughter. I had a view of her as being a missionary. I had a view of her doing various things, and I had to kind of come to grips that some of those things might not happen. It's okay to do that. If you feel like your dream of the perfect LDS family is slipping away, you fear about losing a close relationship, you're afraid your child won't be treated with kindness at school, I was. These feelings are natural. It's okay to grieve. You'll get over it. Tip 6, don't blame yourself for your child's same-sex attraction. It's no one's fault. I don't even know if I need to bring that tip up, but sometimes it sounds like I do, so I mention it. Blame is neither necessary nor helpful. Of course, Elder M. Russell Ballard, even though individuals don't choose to have such attractions, they do choose how to respond to them. We love and understand in the church. Tip 7, as a parent, the least productive prayer is why. A close second is, please take this away. I just got the 5-minute warning. I'll just point out this issue for you. This is from, the frequently asked questions on the church website. If I'm faithful enough, will my attractions go away? It's a question that parents have, especially straight parents who haven't experienced it. The intensity of same-sex attraction is not a measure of your faithfulness. Many people pray for years and do all they can to be obedient in an effort to reduce same-sex attraction, yet find they're still attracted to the same sex. Same-sex attraction is experienced along a spectrum of intensity. It's not the same for everyone. And then it goes on, and then I'll just say at the end, in any case, a change in attraction should not be expected or demanded as an outcome by parents or leaders. There's a direction for you. I think that's important. Tip 8, the most helpful question you can ask is how? How can I help? How can I be the mom or dad or church leader my child needs? Inspiration comes. Tip 9, surround yourself with people who build you up. Tip 10, peace and perspective go hand in hand. The more you understand and learn about these issues and about your family, the more perspective comes in. And things that you worried about don't become worries anymore. I think of all the worries I had on that first day. 90% of them, 95% of them never happened. Right, and as I gained some perspective, I realized that they were unlikely to ever happen. I'm going to end with a parable. A man was on the road from Jerusalem to Jericho. He fell among thieves. He was stripped naked, left for dead. A priest came by and couldn't help or didn't help. And then a good Samaritan came along. He had with him oil, he had with him wine. He bound up the wounds of this man and placed him on his beast and took him to an inn, and there left him with an innkeeper and said, take care of him, and when I come back, if you've spent more on him, I'll make sure I repay you. It's a great parable. We often think of ourselves in that parable as the Good Samaritan, and it makes sense that we do, because the moral of the story was go and do likewise, right? I mean, be like the Good Samaritan, so it makes sense that we think of ourselves. But the nice thing about parables is that you can often find more layers in them. here's another way to think about this parable. Every one of you, every one of us, is a traveler away from home. And this world is not an easy road. You get beat up here. You get you have things that are difficult here. And the fact is, none of us would make it back home without the help. There's a place in the world for priests. We're grateful for them. But there's only one person who's ever lived that has wine to cleanse and has oil to comfort and to salve, right? There's only one who had the power and ability to lift us up on his shoulders, place us upon a beast, and take us to a safe place and an inn. Just one. What that means to me is that we are all travelers in the inn. And I think of the church as the inn. When I go to church on Sunday and I see our chapels and our classrooms, I don't see chapels and classrooms. I see an inn and I see travelers. And church leaders, you are both travelers and innkeepers. Your charge is to take care of them. Your charge is to make the inn a safe place. This is President Ballard. I want anyone who's a member of the church who is gay or lesbian to know, I believe you have a place in the kingdom. By the way, that's my belief as well. I recognize that sometimes it may be difficult for you to see where you fit in the Lord's church, but you do. We need to listen and understand what our LGBT brothers and sisters are feeling and experiencing. Certainly, we must do better than what we've done in the past so that all members feel like they have a spiritual home. All members feel like they have a place in the inn, where their brothers and sisters love them and where they have a place to worship and serve the Lord. That's my belief as well. I share it with President Ballard, and I do it in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
We thank you for joining us for this episode. If you are a church leader and want more information to help build your understanding of this topic, I invite you to visit the Latter Gay Stories website at lattergaystories.org. From there, you can listen to or read hundreds of stories from LGBT people, their allies, and their family members. You can also click on the resource tab at the Latter Gay Stories website and find dozens and dozens of resources to help you navigate this journey. One of our most downloaded resources is the Fifth Sunday LGBTQ Lesson Plan. It's a quick and easy lesson format that's church-approved sources that allows you to have that Fifth Sunday fireside, the Fifth Sunday conference, a meeting within a stake or ward council. It's just a good opportunity to bring this lesson up in your ward, branch, or stake. Again, thank you for joining us on this episode as we discuss the intersection of sexuality and reality as it meets at the corner of LDS Street and LGBTQ Avenue. But most of all, resources like this are provided to you to help continue writing your Latter Gay story.
This episode is a production of Latter Gay Stories. We are always looking for new friends. Give us a like on Facebook and follow us on Instagram at Latter Gay Stories. The podcast is made possible because of generous donors like you. Make a donation now by texting the word STORIES to 77948. Your donation gives us the ability to build bigger bridges by producing more Latter Gay Stories. Want more? Find this episode and others online at lattergaystories.org.